Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
And so, my text from John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is looking for true worshipers tonight. He's looking for someone that will be a worshiper, that will lead the life of a worshiper. And so I want to talk about the heart of a worshiper for a few minutes tonight. Let's pray one more time. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord, that is strong in this place. God, we feel you moving in this room, in this atmosphere. And Lord, this is a good atmosphere for you to speak to us and help us, Lord, by your word. And I pray that the teaching, Lord, and the hearing and the reception of your word would be anointed tonight, that you would help me, Lord, to teach, Lord, with precision, Lord, and with discernment, and just, Lord, by the leading of your spirit tonight. We want to be made better by your word. We want to draw closer to you and become what you want us to be tonight. We give you thanks for these things. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. Clap your hands to the Lord as you're seated tonight. Give your neighbor a high five if you're glad to be in Bible study. There you go. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship is not just an action. It's part of our identity, or it should be part of our identity as children of God. A worshiper, worship is not just something I do, but being a worshiper should be what I am. He's not looking for worship events. He's not just looking for nights of worship. He's not just looking for worship concerts. He's not just looking for worship nights. But he's looking for people who are worshipers. He's looking for someone to lead a life of worship. Praise, we talk about praise and worship. Praise is something that we do, but worship is part of who we are. You can praise, and I've talked about this before, but you can praise from a distance. You can be anywhere doing anything, and you can talk about how great God is, and you can praise the Lord. You can say or sing how great God is, how strong God is, how powerful he is, how good he is. You can praise from a distance, but you can't worship from a distance. You can't worship from far away from God. Worship, it draws you close. When I'm praising, I can be just anywhere doing anything, and I can talk about how great God is. But when I'm worshiping, I'm in a place just like tonight where I lift my hands and I can feel the Spirit of the Lord just wrap his arms around me. Worship is close. It's up close and personal. It's intimate. I can't do it from a distance. Worship is something deeper. And we need to be able to praise. Praise is a weapon. Praise tears down strongholds when we begin to praise in the Spirit. But when I worship in the Spirit, it's something up close happening between me and God. I remember, I've talked about this many times with people, but I remember being, the first time I went on a mission trip, In 2014, I went to Ghana, Africa, and I remember it changed the way, even today, a lot of things you experience, you might experience in a service, it might help you for a little while, or you might recall it later, but, you know, and then you kind of forget about it. But something that has stuck with me since I was in those services, I remember the first place that we went, the first service we hadn't even really slept yet. And early that morning, we got up, we drove out, I mean, into the jungle, I mean, literally. And they had set up just a grass hut, and they had one microphone that was connected to a busted speaker about this big, and then half a drum set, and that was it. But they didn't just praise. I was all for the dancing in a circle and waving my handkerchief around, and I loved that. But when I saw the way that people who have none of the convenience that we have, when I saw a church body, a church family, some of them had walked overnight to be in service that morning, had walked. And they didn't have air conditioning. They didn't even have walls. They barely had a roof. They didn't have a great sound system. They didn't have lyrics on the screen. They didn't have nice padded chairs. They didn't have all of the comforts and convenience that we have. But those people worshiped. And that church body, that church family, they worshiped with all their hearts, with just a busted speaker and half a set of drums, and the guy wasn't even playing on beat. But it was okay, because it was a kid really playing, but it was pure worship. There were none of the comforts and convenience that helped coddle us into worship. It was, here I am, this is the house of the Lord, whether it's a cinder block building or it's a big cathedral or it's a grass hut in the middle of the jungle. Here I am in the house in the presence of the Lord, and I'm going to worship. And I remember it changed something in me when I saw that. It shifted the way that I think about worship. And so I try, no matter where I am, you know, sometimes you're in service, everything ain't going just how you think it ought to be going. Everything ain't sounding exactly how you think it ought to be sounding. It's not, you know, I've been in places where the atmosphere was a little awkward, but I just realized I'm here to worship. And when worship began to go forth, the atmosphere started to change, and worship is something that we can do in no matter what the circumstance or setting. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want to talk about, because in John 4, as we read, it's revealed that the Father is looking and searching for true worshipers. And I want to share with you tonight, and this is not exhaustive. There are more things you could add to this, I know, but I want to share with you just five points, five characteristics that mark the life of a true worshiper, and just try and help us tonight. First, a worshiper has a right view of God. A worshiper has a right view of God. In Isaiah 6, starting in verse 1, says, this is from the ESV, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah's worship began with a revelation of God's greatness. Before he saw anything else or acknowledged anything else, he saw God's holiness. He saw the Lord sitting high on his throne. He was high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the place. And, you know, we talk a lot about how, you know, you don't have to. We say this about prayer. We say, you know, you don't have to have these crazy, you know, just elaborate, using these big word, prayers that you're praying to God to try and impress Him. And I agree with that. I don't think that you have to have these big fancy words and all these things trying to impress God when you pray. We talked about that in prayer last night. It's not about trying to impress God. I just want to touch the heart of God with my prayer. But we talk about that, and some people take that. They kind of veer off with it, and they think, well, I don't have to pray these great big prayers, so I don't really have a great big view of God. Even though I don't have to be some high and lifted up something, I still need to understand that He is high and lifted up. I still need to understand that while He is my Father and He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and I can talk to Him like a friend, and I can talk to Him straight from my heart, unfiltered. I don't have to hide anything from God. I still do need to understand that there are times that I worship Him in the beauty of His holiness and His greatness, and I praise Him according to His excellent greatness. We need to have a right view of God when we worship, and understand that I'm not just worshiping just my buddy or my pal, but I'm worshiping the King of Kings and the Creator of the universe, that before anything else was, He is. And He said, I am. And I need to understand that He is from everlasting to everlasting. He's the Creator of everything. And that's who I'm worshiping. I am. He is my God. He's not just my friend. He's not just my father. He's just not my buddy or my pal, but He is my God, and I will worship Him as the one true God. Amen? We need to have a right view about God. When we get a fresh vision of God's majesty, our worship, it changes from just casual to holy. It changes to something deeper. And we need to understand that just because I worship Him according to His excellent greatness, that doesn't mean that I have it all together, that I'm necessarily great. It doesn't have anything to do with me. I'm worshiping Him according to who He is. And we need to have a right view of God, and we need to have a reverence for God when we worship Him. Amen? I remember when the first time me and Duke on our honeymoon, we went to the Grand Canyon. First time either one of us had ever been. I had always wanted to go. Just as long as I can remember, wanted to see the Grand Canyon. And I remember we parked in this, we didn't really even know we were going. We had never been in that national park. And we just found a place to pull off. And we walked over the hill. And then there it was. It opened up. And I remember just my mouth literally dropped open, and it was just, everything was quiet, and it was just, we walked out real slow, and we didn't even walk out with our phones up, and just, it was, I had to see it with my eyes. And I remember looking, and just, I could not believe what I was looking at. Just the splendor of creation that I was looking at. And I remember, Duke would tell you, I'm not ashamed to say, the tears started flowing. It was a mix of just seeing something that I had wanted to see for so long. But I started to think, my Creator created this. I started to think how awesome God, and what a testimony to the awesome majesty, to Him as a Creator, and to Him as God and the King of Kings, and just the splendor of His creation. It moved me deeply. And if creation can do that for us, imagine if we have a right view of the Creator, what it can move and stir inside of us when I realize I don't just view His creation, but I'm in touch with the Creator. I'm the one in touch with the one who created it. That's my God. That's who I'm worshiping. You can't truly worship God if you have a small view of Him. Can't do it. Worship begins when we see Him as high and holy and sovereign. Amen? Two, a worshiper has a pure heart. scripture in Psalm 24, verse 3 says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." Worship is not about perfect singing, perfect setting, perfect music. But you do want your heart to be right. You do want your heart to be clean. Isaiah's, back to Isaiah, his vision of God, it immediately revealed in him his own uncleanness. He said, "Woe is me, I'm unclean." And we know that the angel took the coal from the altar and purged him, cleansed him. And worshipers will allow God to cleanse them. A worshiper will not reject the changing power of God. A worshiper will not just lift their hands and just worship him in word only, but a worshiper will allow him to come close, because he does in worship, and a worshiper will allow his presence to change them, to shift something in them, to stir something in them that calls them to repentance or calls them to change. And you've got to have a right heart. Now, I don't say that to say that you have to be perfect every second of every day, that you can make no mistakes and that's how you have a pure heart before God. It says back in Psalms again, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart." You know, David, right after the worst mistake of his life, and in just the worst place just about that anybody could possibly be, he prayed a prayer of repentance, and he said, "Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Purge me, wash me, cleanse me. Cast me not away from thy presence." He asked God, "Purify my heart." And it says that David was a man after God's own heart. That didn't mean that David was perfect in every single way, every second of every day, but David had a repentant heart. And that's how David maintained a pure heart. That's how David maintained a clean heart, is because he lived a life of repentance. And when he fell flat on his face, he understood, "I need to go and worship the Lord. I need to go and seek the Lord." It says in one place that he changed his robes, he washed himself, he anointed himself, and he went into the house of worship, and he got with God. He understood that that's how I maintain a pure heart. That's how I maintain a clean heart. And that's why David could go before the Lord and not be ashamed, and he could worship him, because he had a pure heart that was a repentant heart. And so you can sing songs and lift hands, but if there's unrepented sin in your life, then you're performing, not worshiping. And we need to understand that, because oftentimes, and maybe you can think back to a time you've done it, we can stand at the altar, we can stand up front, and we can do what everybody else is doing, and we can sing with the song, and we can look like we're worshiping. But we know in our heart, "I'm not turning from this sin today." We know in our heart, "I'm going out the same way I came in. I'm not ready to change. I'll stand at the altar, and I'll lift my hands, and I'll say the right words, but I'm not laying anything down on this altar today. I'm not ready, for whatever reason, I'm not ready to do it." It's an unrepentant heart. That's an unclean heart. It's an unrepentant heart. It's a heart that's unwilling to be changed in the presence of God. And so when we do that, that's not worship. That's not worshiping in spirit or in truth. It's definitely not in truth, because we're not being truthful. Because when I worship, I'm saying, "Lord, cleanse me and wash me and do whatever you want to do to me. Just, I want to be close to you." But I'm not worshiping in truth if I'm standing there and I'm lying, saying, "Lord, I love you. Lord, I give you everything, but I won't give him everything. Lord, I want you to change me and help me, but I'm not laying anything on the altar." That's not worshiping in truth. And we've got to worship him in truth. Amen? That's okay? Three, a worshiper will be spirit-led in their life. John 4:24 again, that they'll worship him in spirit and in truth. Got to worship him. And we just talked about worshiping him in truth. We need to worship him in spirit. Worship is not a flesh-driven emotional high. Worship is not just, or should not just be, the hype that we feel when we come in to the house of God together and they're singing our favorite song and the music is just right and everything's just right in my life and so I can feel this emotional high. That's not worship. Worship is not driven by outside forces. Worship is not driven by things in the natural or in the flesh. It's not driven by emotion only. It needs to be spiritual. It's a spirit-empowered encounter is what worship is. When I work, again, I'll say it every time I need to say it, worship is up close with God. And so it is an encounter with God. And if I'm not in the spirit, then I can't worship the one who is a spirit. The scripture said, God is a spirit. I need to worship him in spirit and in truth. It can't be flesh driven emotional highs and hype that make us get into a place where we say, okay, now I can worship the Lord. But we need to understand that it's a spiritual thing. And so whether I feel like it or not, I'm going to come in and I'm going to worship because it has nothing to do with how I'm feeling. It has nothing to do with how life is going for me right now. I'm coming to worship him according to his holiness and his greatness and my love for him. He's my God. I love him. I adore him. I want to worship him. And as I begin to do that, you start to feel things change in the spirit. Right? It's just like tonight. You might have been tired from work, tired from the day, but you come in, and when worship starts to go forth, you start to feel something. You start to feel something. Now, you can come in, and you can be in an atmosphere of worship, and you might be uncomfortable if you're the one that the Spirit of the Lord is moving, but you're just standing here like this. Or you're just leaning back. Not impressed with the Spirit of the Lord. Not impressed. I could care less. If that's you, worship might make you uncomfortable. If that's you, and hey, I've been in places in my life where my attitude wasn't right. And so when I was in a place where the Spirit of the Lord was moving, I could feel the Lord trying to get a hold of me, and it makes you uncomfortable. But we need to understand that we feel those things and we feel the atmosphere shifting and things moving because worship is a spiritual thing. And so when we come in and there's two or more gathered together in his name and we're worshiping, you start feeling that wind of the Holy Ghost blow. You start feeling things shift and change. But if we come in and we're silent, if we come in and we're not impressed with the Spirit of the Lord, if we come in and we're waiting on them to sing our favorite song before I'll even tap my foot, then we've got it wrong. We've got it wrong. We need to come in together and say, I've come to worship the Lord. And whether I feel like it right now or not, my worship is going to shift the atmosphere. As I begin to worship, angels are going to start flying around. And the Spirit of the Lord is going to begin to move. And things are going to break in the Spirit. And miracles can happen. And the Lord can speak. And the Lord can move. And people's hearts can be changed because there's worship in this atmosphere. Worship is a spiritual thing, and we can't rely on things of the flesh to move us into a place of worship. We can't rely on things of the flesh to move us. I've been in services where the sound system went down completely. I've been in services where the power went out. That's happened at Georgia camps before with hundreds of students in there, and the power goes off. What do? You've got a crazy pack of feral kids running around jacked up on Yoo-hoos and nachos and they want something to happen. We can't just sit in the dark and wait for the storm to pass. What do? Turned phone lights on and started to worship, started to sing a cappella. And guess what? The Spirit of the Lord moved and great things happened because we don't rely on the flesh-driven natural things that we can control. We can always control whether or not we're going to worship. It's a spiritual thing. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." They're the children of God, rather. We got to be led by the Spirit. We got to be moved by the Spirit is what I'm trying to say. Fleshly things and emotional highs can only move us so far. I want to be moved by the Spirit. I don't ever want to be in His presence and be unmoved by the Spirit. I don't want to ever feel comfortable just leaning back in my chair and just not impressed with the Spirit of the Lord. I want to be moved by the Spirit. God, let me be sensitive to Your presence. When you're a true worshiper, you don't need, I'll drive it home one more time, I don't need just the right setting, just the right song to worship. I don't need things that I can control myself or that can get my emotions stirred up just right. You need to let the Spirit stir your heart. For a worshiper will be surrendered. A worshiper will be surrendered to the Lord. And these things, I want to make this point, these things I'm talking about tonight, it's not only when we're here inside these four walls. If I'm living the life of a worshiper, these things will spill over into my everyday life and everything that I'm doing everywhere that I go. But a worshiper will be surrendered. Romans 12:1 says, "Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." I've got to be surrendered. Worship is not, again, what we do just on Sunday or Wednesday or while we're here in these four walls, but it's a lifestyle of giving everything, every part and aspect of my life, every decision that I make, everything that I do is surrendered to the will of God. That's worship. That's worship. I can't be in opposition to the will of God in my life and still worship. I can't say that's my God and I'm a worshiper if I don't do the things that He says, if I don't follow the direction He's leading me. And sometimes that direction is uncomfortable, and it might be unknown, and it might be murky waters, and I'm not sure exactly what God's doing, but I'm going to be surrendered because I'm a worshiper. Surrender is worship. Saying, "Lord, I submit to Your will," that is worship. And I can't come in here on Sunday and lift my hands and say I'm a worshiper, but I'm not submitted to the will of God in my life. I'm not following the direction that He's calling me. I'm not doing the things that He's asking of me. I'm nudging off that unction from the Spirit. I can't lift my hands and cancel all that out. Surrender is worship. Surrender is worship. Abraham's greatest act of worship was when he laid Isaac on that altar. You think he wanted to do that? No. You think he was comfortable with that? No. You think he understood why God was asking this of him? No. But he told Isaac, and he told the ones he was leaving, or he told the ones that were with him, he said, me and my son are going up to the mountain. We're going to worship." That's what, he wasn't just saying that because that's what they said. He said, "I'm surrendered to the will of the Lord, and I'm going up to this mountain, and I'm going to worship. And if that means laying my son on this altar, then that's how I worship, because that's what God has asked me to do. But I'm surrendered to the will of the Lord." There was no greater act of worship in Abraham's life than when he decided, I'm going to place Isaac on this altar. But you know what? He trusted the Lord, and the Lord made a way. and said, I see now. I see, I can trust you. I see that you'll submit to me. And people might not agree with that. They might think, well, that's kind of mean of God, but his ways are unsearchable. He knew Abraham's heart. These things are given for an example to us. A worshiper says, not my will, but yours be done, Lord. Not my will. True worship, it will put everything on the altar. Our plans, our dreams, our aspiration, our goals, the things that we have lined up and set up for our life, a worshiper will lay all of that on the altar and say, Lord, if you want me to take any of this back with me, that's fine, I will. But if you want me to leave it all right here, I'll leave it all right here. And I'll walk away from this altar a worshiper because I'm submitted to the will of God. A worshiper will live a life of surrender to God. We don't ever know more than him. We don't ever know better than him. His will is always best. His way is always best. And he will make a way when it seems like there is no way, because he knows what he's doing. Five, finally, a worshiper will be thankful. A worshiper will be thankful. Psalm 104, verse 4. I'm sorry, chapter 100, verse 4, says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. I've said this many times before, that it matters how you enter into his gates. That's why I understand sometimes we got to get God to shake us, and he's got to shake us in his presence. But I just don't think that it's the will of God for God to have to try and crank me up like an old broke leaf blower every time I come into his house. You got to sit there forever trying to get me going. I'm, as they say, I'm coming in blowing and going. Pastor said this the other day. He said, we used to come into church with our foot on the gas and didn't let up until the lights were off. I think that we need to decide that it doesn't matter what state I am in outside these walls. I am going to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Because I can't enter in with a nasty attitude and just cold start worship. I need to have a thankful heart to begin to worship. I need to have a heart of gratitude to begin to worship and lift up those things to the Lord. A worshiper will be thankful. Gratitude will fuel worship. You can't be a complainer and a worshiper. Can't. You can't have a sour attitude and be a worshiper. Can't do it. That's when you need to say, Lord, cleanse my heart, cleanse my mind, cleanse my attitude. We come in too many times to the house of the Lord with a stank look on our face and our backside glued to the chair and think, well, God's just going to have to really impress me today. I'm going to enter into his gates with thanksgiving because he is good and his mercy endures forever. He is good and his mercy endures forever. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. I've got a heart of gratitude. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Corrie ten Boom spent time in a Nazi concentration camp. There's a story about how she would thank God for the fleas in her bunkhouse. And later she had realized that those fleas would keep the guards away. They didn't want to mess with it. They didn't want to be around it. And she said those fleas would keep the guards away, and it would give us time, me and the ones that were there with me, to study the Word of God and to pray and to worship the Lord. And so I thanked God for the fleas that infested my bed. I thanked God for the fleas that crawled over all over the little bit of food that we would get. Because those fleas created a space that we could spend time with God uninterrupted by our oppressors. Even in hardship, a thankful heart can worship. Even in the worst possible place that you might think you can find yourself, I can have thanks in my heart, and it'll lift me above that. I'm going to have a thankful heart as a worshiper. A thankful heart naturally becomes a worshiping heart. A thankful heart will start to form your heart into a worshiping heart. Because you keep your eyes on what God has done, and more importantly, on who He is. I don't praise Him and worship Him only according to what He's done, but just who He is. And it gets your focus off of what you lack or what's going wrong in your life. I could magnify my problems. I could magnify the hardship that I'm facing. I could magnify sickness in my life. I could magnify financial trouble in my life. I could magnify stressing me out, or things coming against me, or whatever problem you or I have going on. I could magnify that, and I could make that real big. Or I could do like the scriptures said, like the psalmist invited us to do when he said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." I'm going to magnify the Lord, and everything else is just going to grow strangely dim. Everything else is going to seem so small, because I'm going to magnify the Lord, and I'm going to bless His name and exalt His name. That's thankfulness, and that will form a worshiping heart. Music can come, and you can stand with me. I'm going to wrap up here, watching my time. True worshipers, again, not just churchgoers. They're not just people that know how to go through the motions. They're not just people that know how to do the moves and look like I'm doing what everybody else is doing so I don't look out of place. It's not even just people who say they believe in the Lord. But worshipers, they're people who will see God as He is, high and holy, lifted up, all-powerful, omniscient, omnipresent, the King of Kings that fills the universe. They're people who will keep a pure and repentant heart and say, "Lord, I'm willing to let You change me in Your presence. I'm willing to be changed and purified in Your presence and by Your Spirit." They're people who are Spirit-led, not walking after the flesh, but after the Spirit. People that will say, "Lord, don't let my ears, my spiritual ears, go deaf to what You're trying to say to me. Don't let me lose feelings so that I can't feel when Your Spirit is moving on me, when Your Spirit is stirring me." But they're Spirit-led. They're people that live surrendered and say, "Not my will, but Thy will. Lord, every day and everything, I surrender to Your will. When I wake up in the morning, I'm going to surrender to Your will again. And if You give me another day, when I wake up the next day, I'm going to surrender to Your will again. Lead me and guide me." That's worship. And lastly, they will overflow with thankfulness. It's not about my circumstance. It's not about my situation or the state that I'm in, but I have a heart of gratitude that says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that He's done for me, my soul cries out, "Hallelujah." I've got something to be thankful for, and I'm going to worship. So let's not just be people who attend worship services Let's be those kind of people that the Father is searching for, that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. I want us to understand this tonight, church, that this is, if we forget that first we're worshipers, everything else will be out of line, out of whack, be out of order. We come in sometimes and we're frustrated and wonder why we feel the way we feel. Well, have I let my worship go by the wayside? Am I living a life where I just wear the Jesus t-shirt? Or am I living a life of a worshiper that understands I worship a real living God? Not just a God, but the God. The only true God, who's not an idol, who's not carved out of wood or stone, but He's the real, living, breathing, speaking God of the universe. That is my God. And so I'm going to live a life that worships Him. People don't like to think of it like that. They just like to think God is my buddy, God's my pal. We used to say years ago, we got sick of Jesus is my boyfriend songs. Make you want to throw up in your mouth after a while. He's more. He's the creator. He's the King of Kings. And it might sound like a fairy tale to some, but He's my God. And I'm going to live a life that worships Him. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.